1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in a sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not of your own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that you may be saved. There's a bunch of stuff in here. Now let's go back and look and see what it really says. That's the King James Version. First word of the chapter is not right. It says, moreover, it should be because. Because, brethren, I desire not that you not understand. The word should be ignorant, should be not understand. I desire not that you not understand. He's saying, I don't want you to not understand. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Does that make sense? He wants you to understand what he's saying so you can understand how to live your life. If we don't understand what Paul is saying to us, how possibly are we ever going to attain to the fullness of Christ? See, you're going to be in confusion. It's about like taking a bird and clipping his wings off, and he's flying. He just goes around circles. He don't go anywhere. You get in a boat with one oar in the water, and you just go around circles. You don't go nowhere. And that's what you'd be if we don't learn to understand. So just as Jesus did, Paul is always telling us, think, think, think. Don't listen to what your preacher says. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying within your own heart. And it should never contradict what this book says. If it contradicts this book, then you're not hearing something right, are you? See? We've got to realize these things. If we get these patterns set down, we get these principles laid out. I know that anything I hear in my head, inside of me, when I hear this voice talking to me, and everybody gets it, and anybody says they don't have a voice inside of them, they're lying to you. Because everybody hears things in their mind. But when we hear these voices talking, if anything's contrary to what this book teaches us, because He is the Word, so if anything's contrary to this Word, then guess what? It cannot be coming from God. God's not double-minded. He's not a man that He could lie. Right? So He's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of something, boys. How that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, how many of them did He say was there? Now, who did Israel represent? The children of God. All the children of God. Okay? So He said every one of them was in the cloud and in the sea. Now look in here in the second verse. And all were immersed or baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. So the cloud and the water in the Red Sea both represented types of baptisms, didn't it? See? The water baptism they went through first, and they were all baptized into Moses by the cloud, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So two baptisms there, but it's only into one purpose. The water baptism and the Spirit baptism. And all did eat the same spiritual food, or meat, he says in King James, but the same spiritual food. Every one of them had access to the same things, didn't they? Just like we do. And did all drink the same spiritual drink because they drank from, out of, that spiritual rock that accompanied them, not followed them, but accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Now, what kind of water do you think came out of that rock? Beg pardon? It was the living water or the living Word. See, it was a Word that came out of that rock. It was symbolism. And it's saying that Christ has got the Word that will fix you. He will sustain you in all your needs by that water. Okay? And if Christ is within you, guess where that supply of water is? It's within you. Do you hear me? It's within you. Not just me. It's within everybody. See, Christ is in there, whether they know it or not, in seed form. Hasn't been woke up yet, maybe, but there, nevertheless. But with many, or the major portion, the language says, with the major portion of them, God was not well pleased, because they were what? Literally, it says overthrown in the King James, but they literally died in the wilderness. Okay? If I go into my testing and I keep continually failing my test, what's my destiny? If I don't learn from it, what's my destiny? What happened to them? They died in the wilderness. Their flesh died in the wilderness. Guess where my flesh is going to be if when I go into wilderness with God in my life as an individual, guess what happens if I don't pass my test? My flesh is going to die out there in that wilderness. It's never going to come to the presence of my flesh will never come into the presence of God in this life, will it? That's all. Did He say anything about them once dying in the desert going to hell? Doesn't say a thing about that. Just said their flesh died in the desert. Must be somewhere else because He don't say it. I can't find it anywhere in this book. Yeah. Okay. Now these things, or literally that first word in chapter, verse 6 should be but these things became our examples or our pattern of warning. He said everything that happened to those people became our pattern of warning. Don't do this or you shall die. Galatians 6 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows, correct? If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap the life of the ages. Do you think most of the majority of them in the major portion of them in the desert please God? No. Most of them still not going to please God in this life. That's what he's trying to show you. They were murmuring and complaining. You know how many people murmur today? The good Christian folk?
No.
Most all of them, that's all they do is murmur. They don't know anything else to do but murmur, murmur, murmur. He said, these things became our pattern of warning to not lust, literally to long or to crave after, worthless things, not evil, worthless. I'm going to tell you what. You can take anything that they lusted after, gold, silver, jewels, clothes, animals, notoriety, popularity, anything you want to say, lusting after another woman. You know none of those things are evil in themselves. It's only what you think of them. Gold and silver isn't bad, is it? No possession you can possess is bad. It's only what you think about it. And that's what their problem was. They were lusting after things that should not have been the priority of their life. My priority in life and your priority should be one thing. What is it? It's Christ. See? And Him being manifested in their lives. Anything else should be in back seat. You can have it, but it's got to be in the back seat. Can't be in front. He said anyway, that he said not to lust or long or crave after worthless things as they also longed and craved after them. Neither be ye idolaters. Well, the word idolater here literally means be an image worshiper. See? Now, the image that they were talking about was some kind of little golden or brass or whatever silver image that they bowed down before every day and acted like that thing was going to do them some good. But in reality, God's talking about the images in your mind that you think of. Do you know how many people, and there's no way you could give me a true answer to it, only a supposition, but could you imagine how many people are idol worshipers or image worshipers in the church today? Majority of the people, the major portion of them, are idolatrous because they're worshiping their church, they're worshiping their pastors, they're worshiping traditions that man has set up. All these things, all the pomp and all that stuff that they put on, whatever it is. See, they're worshiping in that. And that's not what God wants. Of course, now, if you tell them that, they're going to chop your head off. But still, the fact is, they're worshiping that stuff. They don't see it. They say God's first in their life, but they'll be the first one to rip your head off. If God was first in your life, who could you hurt? Nobody. Yeah. They wouldn't even bother them if somebody said something like that to you. Then how could you hurt anybody? See? They can't fulfill the two simple commandments, and they try to say they can live under 10. No, that's when that old hillbilly proverb comes in effect. He who rides the fence will end up with a sore crotch. Okay. It says, neither be ye idolaters or image worshipers. So he's trying to tell you to use your mind and think. Don't just take these images that somebody plants in your head. You find out what they are yourself. Your responsibility is to do it yourself. He said, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. These two words here, commit fornication, literally means practice idolatry. He said, neither let us practice idolatry as some of them practiced. Okay, idolatry. And fell in one day, how many? Well, that's what you'd think it says, but it don't say it that way. You know what it really says? Three score thousand. So what's 300,000? What is 300,000? 60,000. 60,000 fell in a day. It's not 23 like they would... The King James translated it to you, okay? So why did they put it there? I don't know, but they did. Let us tempt, excuse me, and what's literally the big number in this whole thing is 6, isn't it? See, and humanity will fall because of idolatry. If you practice idolatry in your thinking process, you're going to be one of the humanistic pieces that fall, aren't you? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tried or tempted Christ, and were destroyed by the serpent. Not serpent, the serpent. See, when you get into idolatry in your mind, you begin to tempt and test and try God. Guess what? The serpent will destroy you. Are we talking about a bunch of snakes on the ground? We're talking about that thought process, that carnal mind between our ears. See, there's the serpent, the same one it says the Lord God created in Genesis 3. The same one that bit Eve, huh? Okay. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for examples, not in samples, it's EX. Look at the language, it says EX. That was King James language again. Examples. And they are written for our what? Admonition, the King James says. It's literally, language says, it was written for our warning. Well, no, right here it says warning. That's what the language says. It was an example to us, and they were written for our warning, into whom the ends of the age are what? The age has come, or are come, has come. Wherefore, let him that think he stands do what? Look closely or examine himself, lest he fall. You better look at yourself before you start throwing rocks at somebody else, huh? See, watch yourself. Who are you responsible for? Self. I'm not responsible for the world, neither are you. We're only responsible to ourself. There has no temptation, or the word temptation here should be adversity. There is no adversity taken you but such as is common to man. Doesn't that change the whole meaning of that? Everybody says no temptation, like somebody's trying to get you to do something. It's adversity. How many of us have adversity? Every single one of us have adversity, don't we? Every one of us. And it's common to everybody to have it. But God is what? It says faithful or trustworthy. Literally the word is trustworthy, because the word here being used is 4103 in the Greek dictionary, and the word faithful is 4102. See, somebody just slipped it over and used it. They thought it sounded good. Who will not permit or allow, not suffer you, but allow or permit you to be tested above that you are able to bear, but will with the adversity also make a way to escape, that you, and cross out the word may, because it's an added word. He's not going to do it so maybe you can make it. Do you think he's going through all this so you maybe can make it? He's going through it. He's going to make a way to escape that you be able to bear it. Not may. That's doubt in that word, isn't there? A lot of doubt in that word. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, let me say it another way. The word flee here literally means to separate. So he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, separate yourself from the image worship. Now tell me how I'm going to separate myself from image worship.
You don't practice adultery. No.
Word of God. See, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy acceptable, which is holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you'll know that. You know this word, guess what you can't do? You can't practice idolatry or image worship if you know this word. If you're ignorant of this word, which 90% of the church world plus is, guess what? They're going to be in idol worship, image worship. Because they're in ignorance. Ignorance is not a bad word, is it? It just means that they don't have enough information to make the right decision because they don't know this word. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge of God and His word. There's why they're destroyed. If we know this word, can we be destroyed? I asked God a question years ago. Matthew 24:24, and I was reading it years ago, about 15 years ago, and I said, God, I want to know if that's for me. Because it said, if possible, even the very elect would be deceived. I said, I want to know right now, am I very elect? Because if I'm not very elect, I'm going right back out there in that world. If I'm for you, then you got to let me know. How do I know for sure that I am your son? Three words. Know my word. End of discussion. That was it. Do you think I have to tell some? I have to have somebody come and tell me I'm a good guy to make me feel good? I don't have to have any coaching from anybody. I know. That's where God wants you to stand in your walk with Him. You don't have to rely on anyone else for confirmation. You hear what I'm saying? Doesn't mean we don't fellowship. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying you know in your heart without anyone saying anything to you or telling you how good you are or trying to pat you on the back that you're God's son. You should know that on your own accord, shouldn't you? If you know that, who can touch you? Tell me who can touch you. Nobody. No protection from anybody else. God's in the protection business. He'll take care of me if He wants me took care of. Okay? So He wants us to flee or separate ourselves from this image worship. And look at the verse 15. I like this. I speak to wise men. He ain't talking to very many people, is he? I can't help that. I couldn't help it. Forgive me. Literally the language says, I speak to thoughtful or thinking men. Again, that's not very many, is it? See, most people do not think beyond what someone tells them to do. They just do what they told. Sounds like sheeple, don't it? You didn't hear it, did you, Bob? Okay. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? This word communion, wrong. The word says fellowship. Is this not the fellowship with the blood of Christ? You hear it? He says when you're doing it, you're fellowshipping with the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Now let's back up because there's some stuff in here we got to talk about. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word bread. Everybody tells you you have to have an unleavened bread to have communion, right? But this word is artos. Number 740 in your Greek language, in the Strong's Concordance. Artos, A-R-T-O-S. And there's another word for unleavened bread. It's number 106 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. And it's the word azumos. A-Z-U-M-O-S. Huh? Yeah, they popped up again in here. See? It's all through the book. Okay. Yeah, and I remember the numbers now. But it's 740 for the artos. And artos represents a resurrected bread. It's a raised bread with leaven in it. And he said, the bread that we break. Now, Paul, being a spiritual man, do you think he misquoted something here? You think he, if it was supposed to be unleavened bread, he would have spoke the word artos? He would have said azumos. He was a very learned man. He was very intelligent. You think God would have him say the wrong words? That blows their theory of unleavened bread, doesn't it? Paul says right here, it's very clear. Okay? And he says, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Well, this word body here is a little different word too. It's the word soma, which means the whole sound body. And there's another word used for body. It's carrion, which means a dead body. So he said, if we're fellowshipping with the body of Christ, we use this raised bread, this resurrection bread, this new covenant bread. Okay? For we being many are one artos. He would have said it again wrong if they're right in their doctrines. And one body, one soma, because we are all, how many? We are all partakers of one bread. So he's saying the only thing you can eat that has life in it is one bread. Where'd this bread come from? Jesus said, I am the bread that came from heaven. And if a man eat it, he'll never die. Okay? Behold, verse 18, Israel. It says, behold, Israel. Literally, it's a word, blepo, in the Greek dictionary, which means to look at. He says, look at Israel after the flesh. He said, now don't get spiritual on me here. Look back at the natural patterns that God set up. Do you hear what he's saying? Look back after Israel. Look at Israel after the flesh. Look back how they did it in the natural way back in the Old Testament. Because there will show you the pattern. He said, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? The ones who take care of the altar and serve on the altar, don't they eat the sacrifice? The priests eat the sacrifice, true or false? Sure they did. That was their livelihood. It's the same thing he's setting up today. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered to the idol, to sacrifice to idols is anything? He said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Now, do you think that's some horned animal running around out here somewhere? It's a thought process. They're sacrificing it to something in their minds. Hello? They're sacrificing to something they think is there. And not to God. And I desire not that you have fellowship with devils or with these crazy thought processes that people are worshiping. It's this image worship, right? They practice idolatry or image worship. Verse 21 goes on and says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Now let me say it again because there's words in here that's been left out that's in the language. Where it says you cannot, that word cannot right there literally is two words, udunumei. And it literally says this, you cannot possibly drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot possibly be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You know why? Didn't James say a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. If you partake of the Lord's table and this truth of God gets within your thinking process, what does it do to that other stuff in your mind? It destroys it. It pushes it out. See, two things can't occupy the same space at the same time, can it? So if I'm partaking of the Lord's table and the Lord's cup, how could I possibly drink from two cups at the same time? If I did possibly stick it in my head that way, two ways, I would be a very confused person, wouldn't you agree? Very double-minded. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's what Paul's trying to tell us. You can't do it. Because if you take a one, it'll destroy the other. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? What he's saying, do you think you can make God mad? Well, language said some things, and he done some things because he wanted things done. But I don't think you can offend God. If you can offend God, then God's got a problem. Because offense is a problem. If I have an offense in me, I have a problem, true or false. So if God could be offended, then he's got a problem. And God doesn't have any problems. He's got all the solutions. See? So what I'm saying is, we can't offend God. We can't provoke him to jealousy. That thing's already passed. Jesus paid the price. Is that true or false? He paid the price for everything. So if he paid for it, there's nothing left to be paid, then why would he be upset about anything? See, he can't be. No, now. There's no way possible now. It's impossible. It's gone. It's gone. No, well, I understand that, but it's not. No, there's a purpose for it. Are we stronger than he? No way. Now, I know a lot of churches would probably disagree with that statement. They would say, oh, no, God's strong enough, but yet we're going to talk God into changing his mind. Well, if I can, they think they can talk God into changing his mind. I'm going to pray and have God do this. Well, it's something totally contrary to what he said he was going to do. So if I can make God change his mind, then I'm stronger than him. See, they're not thinking when they say these things. Verse 23, Paul says it this way. All things are lawful to me. Not for me, but to me. But all things are not advantageous or profitable to me. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not constructive, is what the language says. But everything's not constructive, is it? I can do a lot of things, but it wouldn't be constructive, it'd be destructive. Right? Let no man seek his own. Well, there's a word left out here. Let no man seek his own good or his own well-being, but let every man the other's good, not wealth, good. So he's saying what you should be thinking about. About yourself or about somebody else? See, my concern should always be for the other person. Would you agree? If I'm thinking like God's thinking, and as the apostle is telling us here, I shouldn't be trying to seek what's the best for me all the time, but what's the best for we? Did you hear that? Not for me, but for we. What's the best for everybody? And if it really comes down to it, is it best for me or you? I'm going to give it to you. That's what he's telling us, isn't it? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll step back. That's the way we should be thinking. Huh? That's not a compromise. That's just helping everyone else and putting yourself in the back seat. That's being in a place of humility. That's all. That's what Paul's trying to teach us. Whatsoever is sold into shambles. Now, what does the word shambles mean to you? Yeah, but that's not the meaning of the word. That word shambles is totally mistranslated. The word literally means a meat market or a grocery store. See what I mean about this language? You don't understand it if you don't go look it up. It really throws you off somewhere, don't it? Whatever is sold in the meat market or the grocery store. Now, you can look at the New American Standard, and it says it pretty good. Huh? Meat market? Okay, that's what the language literally says. So a lot of the newer translations bring a lot of these words out. Beg pardon?
What verse is
that? 25. Whatsoever sold in the shambles, or the Living Bible says it pretty good too, or in the meat market or the grocery store, he said, eat. He said, if it's sold there and you go to buy it, he said, don't ask no questions of conscience sake. You know, this is for conscience sake. Because of your conscience, say, well, am I allowed to eat this or not? I wonder if it was something that was offered to an idol and they got this left over and they're going to sell it in the meat market. He said, if it's in the meat market for sale, buy it and eat it. Did you hear me? How many churches have said in the past, you can't eat this food. You have to eat that food. Don't eat fish, don't anything but fish on Fridays. Whatever. All these rules are trying to live under the law. You can't do it. He said, whatever's sold in the market, get that and eat it. It's okay. They're trying to control you. Look what he says in 26. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Okay? It's not thereof, it's of it. It's the word autos, 846 in the Greek language. He owns it all, even the meat market. Verse 27, and if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you choose to go, all that is set before you, eat, asking no questions because of your conscience. If someone invites you to go to their house and they're going to have something to eat there, it don't make any difference what they do, even if they sacrifice it to an idol and that was the leftover part and they're going to feed it to you. Does that make any difference to you? Can meat defile you? No. Well, I'll go along with that. I don't care for turnips either or onions. But see, he's saying this food does not defile your body. Jesus said it this way. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles it. It's what comes out of it. What are you talking? What kind of trash are we talking? It's not the food. God created all this. If you go back to Genesis, what did he say we could eat? Eat anything you want. The whole world out here for you. Eat it. See? He told you what ones wouldn't be good for you under the law. There was things if you didn't eat those certain things like shellfish and pork and things like a lot of things. It'd be better for you if you don't eat them.
Isn't there something about don't eat things that change your mind?
That's what Paul says in here in Corinthians, yes. Where am I at? 28? But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that made it known. Or his conscience sake, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Now what he's saying is, if somebody says, hey, this food is a sacrifice unto the idols. He said, don't eat it for his sake. What are you eating it for? For your sake. You're just eating it. It's just food. See? They can call it anything they want to. If I have a steak laying here or a slab of bacon laying here, it's just bacon. I don't care. They can say any words they want over it. Is it anything different than a piece of bacon? It's still bacon, isn't it? They can say, they can call it anything they want to. It's still a piece of bacon. You know what I'm going to do with it? Eat it. If I want it, I'm going to eat it. That's the way it is. Paul said, go ahead and eat it. Don't worry about it. Verse 29. Conscience, I say, not your own or my own, but the others. Because why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? So he's saying, why should what this man over here says, well, I don't think you should eat meat. Well, the other man says, well, I don't think you should eat vegetables. Which one's right? They're both right, but guess what? In their own mind. That's why Paul said in Colossians 1, let no man judge you for meat nor drink or respect of new moons or Sabbaths or holidays. But let every man be fully persuaded where? In his own mind. You got to know the truth yourself. I can know, if I knew every bit of truth that God knew, if I knew everything about it, it wouldn't do you a bit of good, would it? It's only going to help me. No, they got to work it out. And see, everybody is in a different progression. And the closer we get to God, we're going to drop new, more and more things the closer we get. That's right. As you come farther up in the Spirit. Sure. Now, when the Jews walked through the desert, don't you know that they dropped things all through the desert? Farther went, the journey got hard and hot and long, and this stuff became too burdensome to carry, didn't it? Lighten the ship in the third day, didn't they? They keep throwing things out. And that's what we do. As we mature in God, we keep dropping off things. What I could do 10 years ago, I can't even, it's absurd to even think about them now. And I hope tomorrow there's something going on that I could do today that I can't do tomorrow. I want to progressively go on. I don't want to stop this thing. I think I'm having the time of my life. I shared with a friend of mine in California last night as we talked. I said, you know, I'm going through more tests and trials than I've ever went through in my life. I'm living on less finances than I've ever had in my life. As Lois and I have been as married. And we're having the best time of our life and having all this going on, it's still, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, this is a wonderful time to be alive. To me, this is a wonderful time. I know there's a lot of things going on, but it's fantastic. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And people think all this money. My friend last night told me he bought a piece of ground 42 feet by 49 feet wide on one end from 42 to 49. It was 94 feet long. And paid $380,000 for it. I can't even comprehend that. That's what I'm saying. That kind of money, I couldn't even comprehend. I couldn't see that much money the rest of my life. I'll never see that much money the rest of my life. Now, I'm not condemning myself or speaking doom on me. I'm just saying I'll never have that kind of money. I know that. I won't have $380,000. If I live 20 years at the income we're making right now, it won't even be close to $380,000. It won't be even close to $380,000 in another 20 years. I think I'm glad for him. I'm happy he's got all that. You just got a raise. Bless God. We'll still not see $380,000. That's okay. But I'm glad for him. I mean, it's just wonderful. He's a wonderful person anyway. I mean, he's just a super guy. And the money don't go to his head. He's a very humble person. He's a wonderful man. Loves kids, helps people, is always giving things away. Super guy. If everybody had money, thought like him, we wouldn't have a problem. But God must have seen fit that he could be trusted with money and knew how to handle it because he's good at it. What? No. He's just in a different realm. He's doing something different. He's working something else out for God. I'm on another place. No, I didn't say anything like that. Okay. Verse 30. Because if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? He said, well, was anybody saying something bad about me because I give thanks? It's all by grace, isn't it? Ephesians 2 said you're saved by grace. Right? It's a gift of but through faith, and this is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. So guess what? Why is anybody saying anything about anybody else? Leave everybody alone. Hello? Leave everybody alone. God knows where he wants them, and God's put them where he wants them. He knows where they're at. They're not lost. He knows exactly where they're at. They're lost only in their mind. He knows where they're at. Verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Hello? He said, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Verse 32, we're going to have to change some words here because it's not right. The first word says give. If not, it means become. Be or become inoffensive.
That means be not.
Yeah, it says be or become inoffensive. Where it says give none offense.
Don't offend anybody.
Yeah, it says don't be offensive to anybody. Say don't be offensive. It says become inoffensive or be inoffensive. Both to the Jews and to the Gentiles and to the church of God. He said, don't be offensive to anybody. The Jews, the Gentiles, or the church. There's all three realms right there. See, the church is the true called ones. And there's the Jews and the Gentiles. The other two realms. They're all there. Absolutely. That, the word church is ecclesia. It means the called ones or the called out ones. You're all right. It's what you're supposed to do. Verse 33, even as I please, and the word please literally is this. There's three words in there instead of one. It says, even as I seek to please all, and the word men shouldn't be there. He said, even as I seek to please all, in all, and the word things shouldn't be there. Not seeking my own what? Profit. But the profit. But that should be, but that of many. He said, I'm not seeking my own, but I'm seeking the profit or advantage of everybody else. I'm not seeking for one. I'm just myself. I'm seeking it for everybody. In order that they what? There's a word may there. It should be crossed out. Because there's doubt again. He said, I'm going to do all this so maybe they can do it, huh? No. I'm going to do this in order that they be what? Delivered. It's the word sozo.
The word saved is wrong.
Word saved is wrong. It should be delivered.
Yes, delivered.
It's 4982 in the Greek language. It doesn't mean saved. If Jesus saved us by his death on the cross, is that what the truth? Well, then why do I need to be saved again?
Nope,
I don't have to do anything to be saved. I'm saved because of what he already did on the cross.
It is finished.
See? So all these translations, when we hear these things, if you do this, you'll be saved, that puts it back under works, doesn't it? He finished the thing. I'm saved. But what I do need now is I need deliverance from my thinking process. I need to get rid of this image worship that I have in my head. Everybody's the same way. Get the garbage out, put the good stuff in, and the garbage has to go. Okay? Any other questions?
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.